that those in Samaria who are saved on a wide scale believed on the Lord Jesus Christ for or because of the saying of the woman. And the word saying means the word of the woman. The original language, the particular word that is used here, translated saying, is actually a very common word in the New Testament that means word. And so, for the word of the woman, she spoke. She said something, because it goes on to say, which testified. She told something to her own people, and therefore she was a faithful messenger, and God used that.
This is Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Cloverdale. Welcome to our program today as we seek to preach the fullness of Christ to sinners in all their need and to the edification of the Lord's redeemed people. Welcome to our program today. I'm Andrew Fitton, the pastor of Cloverdale Free Presbyterian Church, 1879 58th Avenue, Surrey. We give a warm invitation to you and your family to attend the Western Bible Conference in our congregation in Cloverdale from Friday the 31st of July through to Sunday the 2nd of August. The meetings will be advertised on our webpage, cloverdalefpc.ca. Do visit our page for the times of those services, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and our Facebook page as well will have the details of these meetings. During the month of July, we are sharing old messages from our conference with you here on our program. Today's preacher is the Reverend John Greer from Northern Ireland, and his subject is local revival. May the Lord bless the ministry of his word to your soul.
I must move on quickly. There's a faithful messenger here. But there's something else, another ingredient, another element in this whole account of how this awakening came. There is the faithful messenger, but there's also a former ministry. Look with me at the verse number 37 and 38. Herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon you bestowed no labor. Listen to this, dear people. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. That's what I mean by a former ministry. Verse 38 is telling you, Christ is telling you, that at some time in the past, before the events of John 4 took place, There had been other men who had gone to Sychar and who had preached the gospel, and now the Lord and his disciples are reaping the harvest that comes from the sowing of a former ministry. And how fascinating that detail is. This former ministry, previously, formerly, these men had been there. They're not named again, just like the woman. We don't know their names. But the Lord knows who they are. And the Lord knew then who they actually were. He's able to say it. Other men were here before you. He's talking to the disciples here. Peter, James, and John. And Matthew and so on. He's talking to his own disciples. He said, other men were here long before you ever arrived. And you're here today to reap the harvest, to gather in the harvest from the sowing of the seed of those other men's ministries. Now we know how that woman knew about the Messiah. Remember I said to you, there's a question here. How did she know about the Messiah? Because the Samaritan religion had no place for the Messiah. She never heard about the Messiah in the Samaritan temple there in that area. Not for one moment did she ever hear about Christ there. But the seed had been sown in her area, and the name of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, had been presented to her people in a former time. And that seed that was sown, my dear friend, in that previous ministry was a seed that God had preserved. Do you see that? The seed had been sown at a former time, and what had been said had not been lost. It had lain dormant. It had lain without germination, as it were, beneath the soil of people's hearts. And now it's beginning to work. My dear friend, whenever the Lord has someone go to a certain place and preach his word, that individual might see nothing done in his day or time, or even a whole group of ministers or preachers or missionaries. This has often been the case. Some of you might have heard of a great Scottish preacher, Samuel Rutherford. He lived way back in the covenanting times in Scotland. He was a mighty man of God. He was a great preacher. And in his first charge, he never saw one soul saved. Not one. He ministered in a little place called Anwath. Last year, in the month of July, my wife and I were over in Scotland for 2 weeks after I had retired, and we were in that area of Dumfries and Galloway. And that's where you find this little place called Anwath. If you shut your eyes as you're passing through, you would be gone and not even see the place. It's so small. But we went down this long lane and down to an old church that's in ruins with a graveyard all around it. You can't read the gravestones anymore, but that's where Rutherford preached. And Rutherford said this, if one soul from Anwath meets me at God's right hand, then my heaven will be two heavens in Emmanuel's land. But let me tell you tonight, though Samuel Rutherford actually, he moved on then in his ministry. He went to St. Andrews. He was a mighty theologian and so on. But in Anwath, he saw nothing done, supposedly. But in times afterwards, the seed that he had sown, it began to come forth in a great harvest. He labored, and other men reaped from the sowing that he had carried out in his ministry. Because this wasn't only a previous ministry that we're seeing here, it was a preserved ministry. The Lord recognizes the sowing of the seed. Keep on sowing the seed, my friend. Don't stop. In your city, your area, among your people, become a faithful messenger and become a person who carries out a ministry of sowing the seed. And as a result of that sowing of the seed, this woman is brought to know Christ. Her fellow citizens are brought to know Christ. And the whole city is moved. You see, that ministry was previous. It was preserved. It was a particular ministry of sowing the seed. It was a persevering ministry. Because it says here, other men labored. That word labored is a very intensive word. It means to labor to the point of exhaustion. And those men, whoever they were, again I put it, for we don't know one thing about them, that's how they had wrought. They had labored unto the point where they were utterly exhausted, physically, mentally, and I believe spiritually. I believe the devil would have attacked those men. You've sown all that seed. You've preached about the Messiah. And you haven't seen one thing happen. That's how the devil works. But let me tell you, as I've been showing you here, they persevered. And they kept on sowing the seed. And you know, my friend, those men, whoever they are, they're in heaven tonight. They most certainly are. The Lord honors them here. The Lord recognizes them. And the day will come when we will know their names. And we'll know the name of that woman, that poor woman saved there by the well at Sychar. She's in glory right now. She's a blood-washed soul. And she's singing the praise of the Messiah who met her at the well. It was worth it, wasn't it, that the Lord went to that well? But it didn't stop with the one woman. It went to the whole city. I'm showing you tonight that there's no knowing what the Lord can do when you sow the seed, when you spread the gospel in your local area, in your own vicinity. There's no knowing what the Lord will do through that labor and through that work. And you know, I want you to hear it this way and think about it this way. Those men were laboring for the future. This has been coming up in these meetings. Last night, God's work has a future. And we can rejoice in that. And this morning, Christ's continued ministry. And it will keep on going forth and taking place until He comes again. And the future's involved in that. And here we're seeing it once more. Those men labored, whenever it was, before this day in John 4. But they were laboring for the future. It was a preparatory ministry, therefore. They were preparing the way for others to come along and to reap the harvest from their sowing. We must have an eye to the future of the work of God. I often think of the patriarchs. Will you please turn with me to Hebrews 11 and look with me at a number of verses that bring out this point. Hebrews 11 and verse number 20 to begin with. It says, By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. Concerning things to come. When Isaac was near his end, when he was an old man, he was thinking about the future and he wanted to bless these two sons of his. And I know there's all that discussion about Isaac or about Esau, but we're not going to get into that tonight. But just taking Jacob especially, Isaac wanted to bless Jacob and did bless Jacob concerning things to come. Look at verse 21. Here's Jacob now. At this point, he's an old man. What you read here took place when Jacob was 147 years old, as you learn from Genesis. By faith, Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped leaning upon the top of his staff. Verse 22, by faith, Joseph, when he died or when he was at his death, is what it means, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. Every one of these men, Isaac and Jacob and Joseph, their eyes are on the future, even on their deathbeds. They're not thinking about themselves. They're not thinking about their wealth because they were men with great monetary wealth in their own hands. The Bible makes that clear. They weren't thinking about those things. They were thinking about their sons and their grandsons, how things would fare with them. And they prayed for them and they blessed them. And they wanted to see God move in the future. They were preparing the way for the future. And you know, many a revival, just like the one in John 4, has come about as a result not only of a faithful messenger like that woman, but as the result of a former ministry, where in some country or some area or whatever the location might be, people sowed the seed. And then years afterwards, God brought forth a harvest. And we have the proof of that right here. My closing thought tonight is a fruitful movement. You see that? This great awakening that began was a mighty fruitful movement. For example, if you look at verse 29 again, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did, is not this the Christ? Verse 30, then they went out of the city and came unto him. What do you notice there? Immediately there's a hunger for the word of God. Go down to verse number 40. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, that follows, you see, from 29 and 30, and now verse 40. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them. In other words, these men are now hungry. An awakening has come and they want the Lord to stay there. They want him to continue ministering. And you know, my friend, it says there, he abode there 2 days. Those men had a hunger for the word and those men besought the Lord. And that's one of the words for prayer in the New Testament. They actually prayed to Christ, stay with us. Don't leave us. Are you praying that way? That your desire that the Lord will remain among you and bless you and bless your church and the church family. Because if you pray that way, the Lord will, he will remain. He abode with them. Here on this occasion, 2 days. Just think of what must have happened in those 2 days. I wonder what took place. What did the Lord do in those 2 days? He was not there on a holiday. He was not there idling away those 2 days. He was there laboring. I wonder what took place. But the point is, there's now a great hunger for the word and there's a true recognition of Jesus Christ. Look at verse 41. Many more believed because of his own word and said unto the woman, now we believe not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. They recognized this is the Christ. Now, does this mean that the woman's ministry to them was now being disregarded or being minimized in its value? No, not at all. You know what's going on here? They've met Jesus Christ, and the woman through whom it all began fades out of the picture. Not because she wasn't faithful, for she was. Not because she's not important in her city, because she is important. She's got a testimony to tell. Because Jesus Christ is the one who must have the preeminence. And when revival comes, that's part of the fruitful movement that ensues. Not only a hunger for the word and prayer for the Lord to stay among those people through whom or with whom he's working, but also that Jesus Christ will have all the glory and all the praise. If you look with me as I close tonight, at the Lord, something the Lord said in verse 35, you will be, I believe, encouraged with this. He says in verse 35, say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. Now, concerning what did the Lord say that? Lift up your eyes, look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. What does he mean by that? You know, I've often heard those words preached in a very general way. And maybe I have done that. And in that sense, there's nothing wrong with these words. In other words, I'm talking about missionary meetings, and the missionary might come along, or a preacher preaching when missionaries are going out again to the field or whatever, and they take this as their text, and it's a very popular text for such an occasion, and they say to the congregation, lift up your eyes, look on the fields, and they're talking about the world in general. They're white already to harvest. But in this context, that is not what these words mean at all. In this context, the reference to the fields being white to harvest, those words have to do with Sychar. Because streaming out of that city, there are companies of people coming to Jesus Christ. And the Lord says to these are, he's talking here to the disciples, Peter, James, John, and so on. He's saying, look, lift up your eyes, men. The fields are white. And then he goes on to say, I sent you to reap whereon you bestowed no labor. In other words, these people are ready for the gathering. This awakening is now upon us. You've got to talk to these people and minister to these people and counsel these people. That's what these words really mean in this context. And while there's nothing wrong with using these words in a general way for the whole world, yet I could not say for one second that, with any assurance, that I know that out there in the world in general, the fields are white to harvest. I certainly know that out there in the world in general, there's a lot of sin, there's a lot of need, a lot of people need the Lord. But the Lord is talking here about a harvest that's already on its way in to the garner of God. And that's what's going on in Sychar. There was a mighty moving here. This local revival had a tremendous impact. And many were gathered in. That's why I call it a fruitful movement. We long for such days. Yes, we do. I trust that what we've seen tonight will whet your appetite, that you will set yourself to be a faithful messenger, that you will pray that the seed sown down through the years in your own church in Calgary or Cloverdale or wherever will suddenly germinate and bring forth much fruit. Or even from times before that again. The Lord knows where the seed lies in the soil of humanity. And he is able to cause it to spring up and bring forth a fruitful movement. And may that happen. May God bless his word. May you be encouraged to labor for the Master from the dawn till setting sun. And may the Lord bless his word to all of our hearts. Thank you. For you.
As the pastor of Cloverdale Free Presbyterian Church, 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, I do invite you and your family to our Western Bible Conference. This conference is in its third year and has moved around the various churches that we have in Williams Lake and in Calgary. And this year it is coming to our congregation in Cloverdale. The conference takes place from Friday the 31st of July. There will be an evening meeting, and then it continues on Saturday the 1st of August. There will be a gathering in the morning, and then there will be a meeting again in the evening. On the Lord's Day, the 2nd of August, we will be meeting at 10:30 a.m. in the morning and 6 p.m. in the evening, our normal times of worship. The preacher will be Pastor Logan Elder, who is the minister of Orlando Free Presbyterian Church in Florida in the United States. And he will be coming to bring God's word to our conference. We do warmly invite you and your family to come and join us. The various details and the times of the services are available on our website, www.cloverdalefpc.ca. That email address will be repeated at the end of today's program in a few moments. You can also email me, pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com. You can also contact me on telephone 604-576-1091. And I'll be more than happy to pass on the various details of our conference to you. It is also important for Christians to have access to good and sound Christian literature. And this was one of the desires that we had for our conference when it commenced in 2024. And as a result of that, we will be having a book table at our conference on the Friday evening and on the Saturday. There will be a wide range of Reformed and evangelical materials available, books for children, devotionals, theological books, and a selection of Bibles. We also love the Puritans and the Puritan literature, and there will be a wide selection of Puritan books for you to consider. The Puritans loved the Word of God. They loved to expound the Scriptures and to emphasize the importance of righteous living, of living your life as an example that points to the Lord Jesus Christ and His so great salvation. They desire to know more of God day by day, and that is the aim for our conference, so that our congregation, those who attend, will grow in their spiritual walk. And so we invite you and your family to join us, and do visit our website for those additional details. You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak. I'm Andrew Fitton, and we want to thank you for joining with us today. If these programs have been a blessing and an encouragement to you, or if you need spiritual help or desire to know more about the gospel, please contact us. Our phone number is 604-576-1091. Or you can always contact us by email, pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com. It is our desire that you would know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and be built up in your faith. Let the Bible Speak is a ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Cloverdale, located at the corner of 188 Street and 58 Avenue. Our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. Our Sunday services take place at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. We meet for Bible study and prayer on Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. And we warmly invite you and your family to join us as we seek to preach Christ in all His fullness to sinners in all their need. Again, you can contact me at pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com or by phone on 604-576-1091. We have a presence on Facebook, Cloverdale Free Presbyterian Church, and we're also responsible for the evangelistic page, Gospel Vancouver. Log on to Facebook, find us, check us out, and feel free to like, follow, and share. Again, our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. And it contains all the information for our church and radio ministry. And join us again Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. and Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for the preaching of God's precious word.